We can say that we've been blessed. Would you say amen to that? And as we gather here in this place, as Jerry said, this is a special place, and it's special for all kinds of reasons, but the biggest reason for the specialness is that I believe God's presence is here. He's promised to be here, and I believe that we show love to each other, one another, and it's just a caring spot, and so I'm glad to be part of Bethel family. Well, good morning. I'm Andrew, and my name was up. We're giving all my jobs to Nathan. Looking in retrospect to year 2018, we can say that the Lord's blessed us. In fact, we have a very good God that's worthy to be praised. Amen? Last week, Peter Achetti encouraged us in our step forward as we move into 2019. He had encouraged us in a couple of areas. He said that using a marine metaphor, he talked about launching out. He talked about stepping out, and he talked about reaching out. And this morning, I want to look at that. Every one of those outs were in respect to our faith walk. And I want to do the same this morning as we look at what we've seen in our slides and as Jerry's communicated to the State of the Union for Bethel Bible Chapel, where we are and what the Lord has done and what he continues to do. I want to continue to look at how we can participate that as part of us as a collective group and as we can do this individually. Our desire and our focus is communicated in our purpose statement for those that haven't read it. I'm going to read it for you. I know you have all read it, but it's an amazing, just has everything that needs to be said in it. It says, we're to be a caring, Christ-centered community that worships God, proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ, and through biblical instruction, prayer, and fellowship, equip believers to serve God and to share their faith as a way of life. So how do we do that? How do we do that as we move forward into 2019? How do we do that as a church collective group, which we are here? Or how do we do this individually? You remember in our fall campaign, we did a study on Colossians. How many people were blessed by that study? It was a great study. It brought us back to some grassroots understanding of what God would want, what he intends for us in our life, in our faith walk, as we appreciate him as the preeminent one, the one who is sufficient for everything that we need, and what he's given to us in new life, and how he wants us to move forward with this new life. As Peter said last week, we reach out and we act out, and we step out, and we launch out. So we're going to go back there this morning. I can't get out of Colossians these days. So we're going to read together Colossians 1, verses 9 to 14, and I'm going to say a few things in regards to that and look at some things that we should be serious about. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 14, it'll be on the screen. It'll be in the New King James Version. This is the Apostle Paul writing this epistle, and he says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it," and he's talking about their faithfulness in this church of Colossae, "since we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy." And then he does a little caption on, just in case we don't realize where we came from and what we've been given, let's do a review. "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." That's an amazing statement. This is what we've done. We're under a new authority now. We're not under the power of darkness anymore. We're not under the authority of the kingdom of the God of this age, but we're under the authority of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We've got a new master. We've got a new person, and that's what Jerry was showing in our slides, the great shepherd, the one that we're accounted to and accounted for and responsible to. He's the one, the new authority in our life. You notice as I read this morning, there was a repeat of a statement and a word, and it was the word knowledge. You see that in verses 9 and 10. That we are to be filled with the knowledge of his will. In verse 10, that you may walk worthy and be fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. There also was a phrase called spiritual understanding, which is the same thing of this knowledge of God's will or the knowledge of God. Alistair Begg, in his book, Made for His Pleasure, references knowledgeable living. And he says this is one of the most important aspects of a Christian's life, knowledgeable living. Alistair makes this statement. We are not to be led astray by superficial theories or secretive heresies. You remember that when we did our study? There was something always to be added to the grace of God, like there's only a few people that know it, and there's only a few people that can attain to it. And that was straightened out by Paul to the church in Colossae, that we're not to be led by these secretive things or these heresies, but instead must understand that Christianity is served not by mindlessness, but by a knowledge of God through the Word of God. Such a knowledge engages our minds, stirs our hearts, and transforms our lives. This is what we would want for our lives, This is what we would want for our church family here at Bethel as we launch out into 2019. That's what we would want for each one of us individually. We want to be changed. We want to see clearly God's will. We're seeking that intently as we look at expansion here and expansion of ministries, and for those that aren't involved in ministry, what a blessing it is when we can gather and use our gifts for the honor and glory of God. That's what God would want us to do. That's what our purpose as a church is, to be his representatives here in this world. We may show that gifting that he gives to each one of us specifically as we honor him in our lives. We want to be changed. We want to see clearly God's will. We want to be fruitful in every good work. That's what the verses we read this morning. We want to be strengthened with all might. And we want to walk worthy of the Lord. And this is called knowledgeable living. Harry Ironside, in his Colossians study, says this of knowledge. It's not intellect. It's not for the person that's the smartest or did the best in school or academics, but it is divine revelation imparted by God's Spirit as he alone gives true understanding. So, what are the priorities of this knowledgeable living for this year that we've just embarked on? Alistair suggests four ways in which we as a church and each one of us individually can foster this. And I'm going to read them out and then we're going to look at them. The priority of preaching was number one. Number two, the emphasis on prayer. Number three, the need for a devotional life. And number four, the necessity of gathered worship. Pretty much Acts chapter 2, the early church. But pretty much not a lot of new information here, but just to be reminded that these are the priorities and these are the things that we put in place for us to bring honor and glory to God as a church family and as each one is individually in our life. So let's look at this and see what the Bible has to say. Let's look at some scriptures that help support these four things that we think are ways for us to have knowledgeable living in 2019. Number one, the priority of preaching. Read this in 2 Timothy 2 and 2. And the things that you, and the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, and I've been going through a Timothy, trying to do this as my New Year's resolution, is to read, MacArthur was talking about this a couple weeks ago, read a, a book and then read the book and then read the book. And you could do that a couple times through the month. And then you start building on that. The repetition of thought and being able to recall those things just increase. So I'm trying to do this through the book of Timothy. 2 Timothy 2 and 2 says this, "And the things that you have heard from me," Paul speaking to Timothy, "among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." The instructions from Paul to Timothy is the same instructions that we have today. As a church, we are committed, and I speak on behalf of the eldership here, at the leadership, we are committed to a pulpit ministry that teaches the truth from God's word. We are committed to creating an environment where God's Spirit is free to work, and our worship teams do that so great and so well. And what a difference it is when we come in here and we worship collectively together and we praise God, and then we get up and we open His Word, and there's just a freedom to do that because the environment for the Spirit to work has been cultivated. And I believe that is so key in how we communicate to each one that comes through the door. So that we're committed to that. That's what we're going to do here at Bethel Bible Chapel. We're committed to a pulpit ministry and an environment that fosters the working of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to, by expository study and preaching, teach the truth from Scripture. And we're very serious about this. We take this task very seriously, and this is a huge responsibility. And the more we think about it, the more we read about it, the more this responsibility rises to be so important. This is what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4. This is why we think it's so important. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11 says this, "As each one of us has received a gift," we talked about this gifting, this is particularly the ministering gift of speaking or teaching, "has received a gift to minister it to one another as good stewards." I think of the ladies' coffee hour and the Bible study and the gifting that some of our women have to teach women. It's just amazing. God has told us, this is so important. This is a very important church ministry. "As good stewards of the manifold grace of God." And it says, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." And that's what we've committed ourselves to do. That's what we will do in 2019 as you participate as the congregation and the church family here. You will see that we're going to do that in all of our ministries. We're going to preach, we're going to teach, and we're going to lift up high the name of Jesus through scriptural and biblical study. We're going to continue to minister this way, and we're going to encourage our young guys to do that. We've got a pile of them on the roster for 2019, and you're going to hear some new people, and it's time for us to get into the Word and be able to tell others about the wonderful things that you've unearthed as you study the Word. The second is the emphasis on prayer. And this is both personal and collective. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8 says this, "I desire therefore that all men everywhere pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting." And I think that the idea there is that we're doing it all the time, everywhere, and we're doing it knowing full well and trusting the person that we're praying to, understanding his might and his worth and his value and his ability to provide what we ask. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing." I think all of us could take this verse and really think through this, because I know I'm anxious so many times. And I'm anxious to the point of, I start to pace. Well, this is what the Scripture says. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God," this is what He promises if we pray. You know, we're not pacing around hoping for things to get better, although sometimes we think that's what we should do. We're saying, if you've got a problem, this is what God wants. He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear our heart. He wants to hear our desires. He wants to hear our supplications, so that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Both our daily prayer time and our church prayer time as we gather is so important. We've been asked to pray for those that are sick amongst us. We've seen God's blessing and we've seen God's hand, and we're giving him the praise and the glory, but God wants to hear us, and he wants us to roll out all of our concerns to him, because he's the one that is faithful. He's the one that is able. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray for God's guidance. As you've seen, as we move forward, we're looking at for God's hand in the things that are in front of us, his guidance, his direction. And we need to continue to pray always and pray everywhere. The next is the need for a devotional life. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that take up our time and effort and energy in this world. And there's no shortage of things to get involved in. And I'm not here to say that you should do this or you shouldn't do that. Well, these things are very legitimate, but we get our priorities all mixed up. I know I do. I got to realign my priorities. I got to look at what's really important in life. And we've had a couple of people that we've been associated with this last year that have died young. And I've just noticed a couple of my friends, how they've changed in their perspective. We're starting to realize our humanity and what's really important in life. And all of a sudden they're taking a day off and they're chilling out, and they weren't like that before. And so we start realizing that there are things that are more important than what maybe we put up in front. Well, what God wants us is important is he wants a devotional life. He wants us to put him first. We read that and we studied that through the Colossians, that he would have in all things the preeminence, the first place. And I think that's so great that we can actually have the ability to put God, the God of eternity, the God of creation, the God that's almighty. We can actually put him first in our life and have him shine through the things that we do. The Lord Jesus, in teaching his disciples in the book of Matthew chapter 6, this is what he said to his disciples. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? There's a lot of that. Sometimes we're going out, and Jen goes in the closet, comes out, and then another outfit, and what should I wear? And I'm saying, I don't know which one. They all look good, because that's the right answer, guys. Okay? Like, don't start to criticize when one dress is, well, that makes you look a little whatever. End of the day, we understand these things. These are normal things that we talk about. What should we drink? And the reference was to the things of life that we're concerned with, because we live in this world. What should we wear? What shall we eat? What should we drink? And he says, don't you know that the Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things? But this is the statement that comes from the eternal God. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The problem is we're impatient. Well, we want to put that first. And the Lord turns it around, and that's that perspective of devotional living. He wants us to put him as priority and the kingdom as priority, and seeking righteousness in our life and a devotion to that. And all these things will find their place as they come in behind. But the priority of the Lord in our life as a devotion to him is so important. The Lord wants us to make him a priority. He wants us to put him first. The Apostle Paul writes this in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live. Listen carefully. This is the Apostle Paul writing this. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. If there's ever a New Year's resolution, wouldn't that be it? That I can actually say that I can put my will over here and put God's will first in my life? That I can say that I'm crucified to self and the flesh, but what I do in the flesh now, I do because I've got new life, a new direction, and a new authority. A devotional life. And the last point I want to talk about is the necessity of gathered worship. Wasn't it great this morning to worship with the believers here? As we raised our hands to the Lord or our hearts and we were stirred by the songs that now is the time to worship. Absolutely, now is the time. And it continues to be the time. That this is the time that God's put aside for us to collectively come together and encourage one another. You know, we need each other. And isn't it great to share the praises of God? First service, we had young guys get up and speak about something that they found to be significant from God's word. And we do that as a collective worship. As we come together, we encourage. Have you ever come here and you're not feeling all that great, but as we came together, maybe someone encouraged you this way, or there was something said, or there's something that was shared, and there was a song, and it just changed your whole perspective. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what God wants us as a church to do collectively, is meet together and make it a special time in our week. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, 25 says this: "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching," or the Lord's return. And we're not supposed to forsake coming together. We're supposed to make that a very important part of our week, that as we do this, we strengthen each other by encouragement, by support. So you think of 2019, you think of what the Lord has done. It's amazing what the Lord continues to do, and we just want to give him all the glory for that. This isn't what we've done as a church. This isn't what we've done as individuals, but this is what God has chosen to do through weak jars of clay. And that's what he's done. And he's taken us and he's molded us into something, and he's using us for his glory, and we want to continue to do that. And as a church in 2019, moving forward, we're going to make a priority in preaching. We're going to have an emphasis on prayer. We're going to have the need for both collective and personal, a devotional life, and we're going to make it a priority for the necessity of gathered worship. I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm excited what God has in front of us. I'm excited for what he has done, and when we look at some of the verses from Scripture, it talks about knowing full well that the God we've trusted is faithful. Amen? He's proven that in the past. He's proven that in the current, and he's proving that as we move forward. So it's an encouragement, a blessing, and the team's going to come up. We have time for Refiner's Fire because it just fits the whole program, and we don't plan this. This is God's Spirit working, and I'm so thankful for our worship team that does this. So as we close in prayer, let's stand together, and let's just commit our time to the Lord, commit our year, commit the words of Scripture, and the team will come up and share our closing song. Let's pray together. Lord, we're so thankful for your grace and your love. Thank you for changing us, and thank you for continuing to change us. Thank you, Lord, that you've committed that in the work you've started, you will continue it till the end. And we thank you, Lord, that we have a great good shepherd to look to. We thank you for this church, Bethel. We thank you, each one of the individuals and families that are represented here, Lord. We ask that you'll bless each one, Lord, and help us to be faithful stewards of what you've given us. Your gifting, we want to be a Christ-centered community by biblical teaching and instruction, prayer and fellowship, to serve God and show the world that because of what you've done in our life, that he's the God to be worshipped. So we just thank you for this, Lord, and we continue to look to you for all our direction. We pray this in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.